We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, let's get somebody on that might have a much better understanding of what we're all dealing with here in society. We bring in Dr. Rowley on the Harbor One Hotline. Dr. Christopher Rowley is from Beth Israel. Dr. Rowley, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
I know things are crazy with you guys right now. We keep on hearing Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and others talk about how we can't really determine where we're going with this until we have enough data. So with the data that we have right now, do you have any idea where we are and where we're going with this?
I think that is the still the number one question, where are we? And that is totally dependent on our capabilities of testing. We've heard this for weeks now, that the CDC testing was inadequate, and then other places needed to get their testing up and running. And I think just in the Boston area now, we finally are seeing a large number of tests being performed. And I believe the latest number is up to about 29,000 tests have been performed in this area.
Yeah.
So once we get everybody tested, then we'll know where we are. Then we'll see whether we're on the trajectory that Italy is on. We'll see whether we're on the trajectory that New York City is on, or Seattle. But until we know that, until everybody that we think needs to be tested is tested, we still are at a loss as to where we are.
You know, Doc, you know, it's hard to kind of sometimes wrap your arms around, you know, everything that's going on, because I just look at situations like in 2009 when the 5,000, and here we are with less than 500,000 people infected, and the entire world is shut down. You know, nobody can go to work. Societies, you know, people can't earn a living. You know, the economy is taking a hit. What is the difference between the two, between the 2009 swine flu and the coronavirus of 2020?
I think the difference, the one obvious difference is the ability of this virus to be transmitted so effectively when people have basically very little to no symptoms at all. And so in that scenario, you just have no real chance to get ahead of it. And so that's why what we are considering, you know, rather drastic measures of shutting down society to a large degree is really the only way to get a handle on this. And if you look at the situation from China, it was in January, the third week of January, that Wuhan, China, shut down basically completely, much more draconian steps than we have had here. And they're looking maybe in the next week or so, April 8th or April 10th, to consider reopening that city. And that was the only way to get ahead of it there. So I think, while we can be hopeful that things are going to be different here, we don't have that information that it's going to be anything other than a prolonged series of shutting down societies in order to get ahead of this.
So, Doctor, like you said, China kind of reopened some things. Is it important to pay attention to what happens there now to see if there's a new spike? Is that a scary possibility?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely crucial. I know they're restricting visitors from coming into China, but I think seeing what happens when people who've been largely homebound for the past couple of months start reintegrating in society, I think that's going to be completely crucial.
You're in the hospital every single day. We keep on hearing stories of healthcare workers who are contracting the virus. What kind of strain does that put on and what you're dealing with? And if healthcare workers have it, are they all being tested?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It's really confusing and difficult to know where the healthcare workers are being exposed. You clearly are exposed in society as we have community spread, But when a healthcare worker comes into this environment here, by nature of our work, we're much closer in terms of physical proximity. We don't have those 6 feet of distance between our colleagues typically. And so there's a great deal of stress about transmission between healthcare workers or from patients or to patients. And so that's a very, very stressful time. So yes, healthcare workers are a priority to be tested. And they basically go to the top of the list, because both keeping them healthy is going to be essential to us fighting it, but also essential to our patients so that we keep them healthy during the fight.
Okay, so we're talking to Christopher Rowley from Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital. Now, so Doc, two questions for me. One, so we understand how you can catch it. Now, once you have it, how do you treat it? And are some people, easily, cured compared to others? And what are those differences look like?
Sure. Yeah, the vast majority of people fortunately do well. The pretty reliable data globally says that 80% of people will have a self-limited course. They may feel lousy during that period, but they'll do okay. About 20% of people will likely require hospitalization, and then some subgroup of that, maybe 5% of people, will require intensive care level of their hospitalization. And so the groups that are obvious that we know, older aged individuals over the age of 60 are vulnerable, and those with chronic medical conditions are particularly at risk. Patients who are receiving chemotherapy or other medications for chronic conditions. But the other kind of variable that we don't have ability to predict is why we're seeing these stories nationwide of these young people who are dying from this illness. And that's what we don't know, who of that group is particularly vulnerable. Because while we say it's the extremes, mostly old people and those with comorbidities, you absolutely are seeing young people doing really poorly with this infection as well.
So the other thing was just that there are, like, we started the show talking about, like, I went to the store this morning and I just figured, okay, I'm just going to hold my breath. I don't have a mask on, and then I'll be fine. Right. I mean, it seems crazy, but I've heard a lot of different, variables as far as what people can do to not catch it. So just correct me if I'm wrong. If I walk into a store and if I hold my breath, am I okay?
Well, there was a lot of confusion initially whether this was truly what you consider an airborne transmission of a virus versus a droplet. And it's largely been thought now through the CDC and the WHO that we're talking about a droplet infection. And that's a typical influenza, whereas it's somebody who's in close proximity to you generating aerosols which transmit it to you. So you're likely going to be fine if you hold your breath going through there. That being said, there's also the presence of what they call fomites, the ability of the virus to live on different materials. And it looks like the virus can stay on materials and then get you infected after, many, many days. There's one report from the CDC suggesting it could be over weeks that it is on inert surfaces that you could get from grabbing a door handle or
that's why you wash your hands, right?
That's why you're washing your hands all the time. That's correct.
So, Doc, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, the economy here. President Trump talking about Easter, maybe opening it back up. One of the discussions that's come up, and given where the economy could be 3 or 4 or 5 months from now, and maybe you saying that maybe the young kids, maybe with people without pre-existing conditions are coming down with it, and that's scary. Maybe that answers this question. But the thought of bringing the economy back and pre-existing conditions, people that are vulnerable, kind of remaining under quarantine, but younger, healthier people coming back to work, is that just a no-go, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, clearly the decision makers will have to decide that what's best for society. But from a strictly public health point of view, the younger people being largely immune to it and being the kind of the method by which it's going to be passed to the older people seems like a recipe for disaster. It's the younger people who seemingly aren't infected at all yet probably are carrying the virus and transmitting it on to everybody else, which is really going to set us back if we loosen the restrictions too early.
So how long do you wait then? Is it zero deaths? Is it zero cases? Is it until you find a vaccine? Because we know how far off that is.
Yeah, right. The vaccine, as you state, is going to be a long time away. You need to have turned the corner. It needs to be fewer infections than the days previous. And at some point when we think we're at a place where they are declining substantially and that people can still maintain some degree of social distancing, it's probably a ways off still.
Can you build immunity to it? In other words, if you have it, do we know that yet, that you can't get it again?
We don't know that yet. We presume there will be likely some antibodies you'll develop, which will be possibly partially protective, but we don't know that information.
No. So there are companies right now that are testing a vaccine. We have to wait for the FDA, and that takes a long time, and we need to go through the trials. So we're hearing about some medicines that are being used right now, the hydroxychloroquine, which is a malaria drug that's been used for a long period of time. Would you suggest or recommend to any of your patients, since we don't have the luxury of a long-term trial and FDA approval, to try some of these other medications that may be working in smaller samples?
Yeah, so here at Beth Israel and across all of the medical centers in Massachusetts, those trials are actually ongoing. So when patients are admitted with COVID-19, they are going to have those opportunities to see if these medications work or not. So they're actually, there are protocols in place across all of the institutions to use these medications in different different scenarios than they've previously been used. Exactly right. So both there's some HIV medications that people are proposing may be effective. There's the hydroxychloroquine that you mentioned. And then there's the other one that you may or not heard about, remdesivir, which is a trial which many of the institutions in Boston and the surrounding area have access to as well.
So just real quickly, the symptoms are what?
So the first symptoms typically seem to be some people are developing a sore throat, definitely a dry cough, and then some degree of fever. Over the next couple of days, I've heard many reports of people then having a loss of appetite and an inability to smell or taste food correctly. And some smaller number of people seem to have some GI upset, which happens after that.
Go ahead, Glenn.
So if somebody has what might just be strep throat or they have symptoms of the flu, is it better for them to go to the hospital or is it better to stay home and quarantine themselves? Because if they go to the hospital, maybe they pick it up there.
Yeah, that's a great question. What's happening right now, because we don't have widespread testing available for everybody, largely if you called your primary care office or you called an urgent care center, they would say if you're doing fine, you may have COVID-19, but you know, just stay home and you know, talk to your provider to see if we have testing available for you eventually, because that's the only way we're going to figure it out long term, what's best for you, what's best for your family, when we know who is positive for COVID-19. If you have something else, which is a child with strep throat, which is a little bit different, this intense sore throat, oftentimes they can see some exudate in the back of their throat, then clearly the child needs to be treated for strep throat. But it is right now probably not in the best interest of the whole hospital system if you have some very mild symptoms to be rushing into the emergency department.
But people panic, as you know, Doc. They panic and they hear everything about COVID-19 and they think what they've got is COVID-19.
And we just don't have the capacity to be testing everybody right yet. But hopefully that'll be changing within the coming weeks. For sure.
Doc, Dr. Fauci said he believes this thing could be cyclical. And I'm just curious, are we living with this now in the future? Do you think this comes back again in the fall, winter time?
Yeah, winter turns into spring and summer, we'll be having the warmer weather. As just like seasonal influenza changes in the summertime, it likely will be that this may decline in the number of cases over the summer. The concern, I think, for those of us in infectious disease is that as the fall happens, then we start seeing cases again. And this is all because we will not have the vaccine for the next, 12 to 18 months. It seems like, from what I've read about the virus and its genetics, it doesn't seem to be mutating quickly. And so maybe if we have a vaccine available in 18 months, it's going to be a durable vaccine. And so that we can all be vaccinated and protected against this in the future.
Dr. Christopher Rowley, you've been great in answering all these questions. I hope we can keep the door open and have conversations down the road because we may be dealing with this in our lives for some time. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doc.
Unbelievable. Giving you some answers there of some of the questions that are out there. And I think the biggest problem is with in sports, you know, it's almost like when you talk about a guy gets injured in baseball, you want a date when he's going to be able to come back. The problem is we have no date when we have an end date to all of this.
No.
When we can kind of move on.
And he talked about, you know, and again, when I asked him, you know, when is it, you know, zero deaths, zero cases, and he said, we got to see those numbers go down, and that's just not happening. Today, MassHealth came out with their coronavirus update. Up to 3,240 people have tested positive. That's 823 new cases. I believe the new cases yesterday was in that mid-500 range. So it has jumped to 823. And I believe 10 new deaths as well. Now, there's 29,000 tests done. As the doctor said, that's 5,000 more tests than yesterday.
That's why.
So 823 new cases. There were 5,000 tests. That's why you see a big jump. But, again, there are a lot of people. You see it all the time. I'm getting texts even during this interview. You know, I've been trying for 10 days. People texting me, trying for 10 days, 12 days. You know, I have the symptoms. Been a bad 10 days. Don't feel good. Can't get tests. You know, and this is – so there's a lot more than that out there. And you wonder – you'll find out what this number is. We're at 3,240 people right now. You can almost guarantee right now in the state of Massachusetts, it's got to be like probably 7,000, 8,000 people at least with this. In other words, another 4 or 5 that aren't even tested yet.
So
right?
The more tests that become available, the numbers are going to go up.
Of course they are.
And it's going to make it very difficult, I think, for Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL to sit there and say, okay, we can go back to work, because what people are going to be looking at is numbers that are going up. All right, we'll get to some phone calls and some reaction, and then the president will be joining us. Yeah, the president.
Ooh, yeah, President Trump's joining us?
President going to join us at 4:30. Joe Biden next Tuesday, by the way. He'll join the program on Tuesday. And by the way, next week, it is Tom Brady week. It's the final week in which you can all say goodbye, and we're going to try to help out some stuff that Greg Hill's been working on to help some of the restaurant workers. We will be doing that all week next week at 4:30 every single day. 617-779-7937. Lines are open right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Will you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Are some people, you know, easily, you know, cured compared to others? And what are those differences look like?
Sure. Yeah, the vast majority of people, fortunately, do well. The pretty reliable data globally says that 80% of people will have a self-limited course. They may feel lousy during that period, but they'll do okay. 20% of people will likely require hospitalization, and then some subgroup of that, maybe 5% of people, will require intensive care level, their hospitalization.
That was Dr. Christopher Rowley from BI, and giving us some great information, and getting back to the whole idea of healthcare workers, because it's a real concern, I think, out there, because a lot of them are not being tested. So if they're not tested and they're the people that are working, they can't stay, as he said, 6 feet away from other people. They are literally working with patients. If they have it, they're passing it along to patients who may be coming in and testing negative.
Yeah, the good news is you're negative. The bad news is I think I have it.
Yep.
So now I'm concerned about you.
Yep. Well, and there's a shortage, and the shortage of these workers. Matter of fact, all of the medical schools in Boston are graduating all of their students early now, giving them a 90-day license in which they go out there as doctors and nurses and helping solve the problem. We need them.
So what do you guys feel that last answer that he gave? 80% feel lousy, but you know are fine afterwards. 20% are hospitalized, and there's a subgroup of that 20% that will need some sort of intensive care. And I would even keep breaking it down even more. I don't want to downplay it, but it's not a death sentence.
No.
It isn't a death sentence. So out of that 20%, that 20% is going to be, he said, pretty reliable source, pretty reliable worldwide. 20% is going to need some sort of hospitalization, and there's a subgroup of that that is going to be in intensive care. Now, out of that subgroup of the people that need intensive care, how many of them have pre-existing issues?
A lot.
And he mentioned that also. You can break it down all you want, and you know, and everyone's being really careful. That's where I think that ultimately, you know, we will come out of this, and especially in the warmer days, like in June when it gets, you know, consistently in the 70s, right? And it just like the flu, it dies off. Now, can it come back? Yes, but you know, hopefully that there's a vaccine and it's not nearly as dangerous as it was.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? Because the Southern Hemisphere is now going to go through their winter. So we may see how it reacts down there, right? We may. But getting back to your point, if young people, and he brought this up, if young people can pass it along, and we saw all of those kids
making out
that were down there at spring break, and they show up back at the house, and they're saying, hey, Grandma, give me a hug. That's a problem, isn't it? Especially if Grandma right now has got a heart condition or she's receiving cancer treatment. It's a problem.
Well, how about the fact that I was right? All you have to do is hold your breath.
Yeah.
Just hold your breath.
Yeah, you're like, on to something.
I was like,
except,
wait a second.
Except you missed the point.
How long can you hold your breath?
You missed what he said, though.
What?
He said that it lives and it can last for a long period of time on an article of clothing, on anything. So
wash
if it lasts,
hands.
So if it, yeah, but suppose it's on your shirt.
Get naked.
And get naked, okay.
That's my type of life.
I'm not sure you were totally right about it, though. You seem to be working towards that medical degree.
Yeah.
Let me go to Bob in Milton. He's a paramedic. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Bob.
Good. I am actually, I was exposed to a patient who tested positive, and I am on a 14-day quarantine, but part of that, in 5 days, I get tested. Unless I have any symptoms. And at any time I have symptoms, I'm supposed to go to the emergency department. So when they say they don't get tested, in my case, I am. The other thing is that doctor was great. A lot of the stuff he hit on, I mean, this is a new virus for people. Nobody knows how is it going to work, what it's going to affect, and we're learning as we go along. You know, it's like we shouldn't leave with opinion that, you know, heat's going to kill it. We don't know. My biggest fear is that when it starts to drop, everybody's going to go back to normal, and it's going to escalate again.
Yeah. And I think, Bob, that's where, and I've been saying this for a while now, with South Korea and China being reopened, we need to see what happens there in another week or two.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, they feel like they're good. Like the doctor said, you know, we're not waiting to zero deaths or zero cases. We want to see those numbers go down and get everything under control. Well, they're back to work. Now, is there another crisis in China in 2 weeks because everybody's back to work, everybody's back in the streets? And if that happens, then we've got serious problems.
We deal with it as we go along. I mean, the biggest thing with this one is contain it. That's why we're told to stay home and not do certain things because we don't want to spread it, especially to the elderly or anybody that has immune deficiencies or respiratory disease. So the best thing is just contain it.
Yep.
Good advice. I will say this. The most encouraging numbers that you're seeing right now is that the USA may be number one in cases contracted, but we're ninth in deaths. And that tells you that the percentage of people that are dying is a lot lower here in the United States. And doesn't that speak for the healthcare that we have? And how good it is. I mean, we talk about this a lot when we're doing the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon and the unbelievable strides that they're making, medical miracles on a daily basis. Well, we're seeing it here. So a lot of people are bitching, and I get it. Ventilators have been slow. Now they seem to be picking up masks. There have been a lot of issues in all of this, and yet we're ninth overall in deaths, even though we're number one in total cases.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's obviously, that's a good thing. You know, I don't want to be number one in overall cases. I could tell you that much right now. But
yeah, but isn't part of that, Lou, these other countries are much smaller, with the exception of China, and China is able to shut down their country. In other words, they can tell you, you're going to stop doing anything. You're going to stay in this room, and you're not going to move. In the United States, where we have a democracy here, and people have the freedom to move, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, right? I don't think I've ever thought I would ever say this again, but or ever. But we need to break right now for the President of the United States.
President of the United States?
Yes.
He's joining us next.
Yes.
You ready for this?
I am.
Unbelievable.
He's the
friend
of the show.
We were able to pull this off. Christian just called him up and said, hey, Prez, can you get... Or did Brady do it?
Yeah, he might have helped us out.
I got to find out about Brady. He says he had a conversation with Brady here recently. We're going to find out about it. The president joins us next right here on OMF. Trending was brought to you by Shaw's Grocery Delivery. Enjoy Shaw's Grocery Delivery. It's powered by Instacart. Fresh, fast, and delivered right to your door. Order online at shop.shaws.com or download the Shaw's Rush Delivery app.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter. Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead. It's a beautiful story. We are going to bring back the economy on Easter Sunday because God, who, to be honest, is, you know, he's a good God. He's done some strong things. Let's be honest, his record is like not so great, though. He brought one guy back on Easter Sunday, and it was his son, so it was kind of like biased.
Well, the president has been coming out every day, and he's been doing these two-hour press conferences, and he's got Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx up there with him, and there's a lot of confusion and whatever. And we are pleased, we are honored that the president has decided on spending some quality time with us here on the show on the Harbor One Hotline. We introduce the president of the United States. Mr. President, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, you know, I'm very happy to be here, so it's a beautiful day. Good golfing weather, so we're happy. Things are going well.
Talking about golfing weather, I know you've golfed in the past with Tom Brady. You mentioned at the press conference the other day that you had talked to Tom Brady, and now he's a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's out of here. Could you kind of share what that conversation was about?
Well, I said to him, I said, you know, Tom, I don't know that they're, you know, you're a great player, and I don't know if they're giving you the proper respect that you deserve as a, you know, how many? He's got a lot of championships. I just know he's got a lot of them. I lost count. But he, you know, I said, hey, come down. I'm in Florida now. So no taxes. It's a beautiful thing. We can hang out, you know, and we'll hopefully he'll win. You know, I don't know if he's going to win a Super Bowl, if we're being totally honest, with Tampa Bay, but maybe, you know, more than five games or whatever they do.
Mr. President, I was curious. Are you still on board with opening up the economy on Easter? I think there's some criticism. People think maybe you're being a little bit, maybe irresponsible, too optimistic.
No, I think I'm not being optimistic enough. I asked them to open up everything tomorrow.
Tomorrow? That's a little soon, don't you think?
Yeah, a little soon, I think.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's some people, you know, maybe sleepy Joe Biden should stay home for another couple of weeks. But I think that, you know, we've got some athletes on the show, obviously, so I think we're tough, like me. We're tough. We're strong people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think we can take it. I think you tell the old people, you tell Crazy Bernie and Sleepy Joe and maybe Crooked Hillary, they can stay home for another 2 months to 5 years. We don't really need them. But, no, I think we can do a lot. But I'm trying, you know, we're trying to be nice and maybe take our time a little bit. But I would open it tomorrow.
You know, I saw you on Sean Hannity yesterday, and I saw that you said that it's very hard to talk about coronavirus as a parent. Now you have a young son, 14-year-old Baron. What are you telling him? You do have a young son named Baron, right? He's 14 years old. You do remember him, right, Mr. President?
Well, you know, I mean, you guys, athletes, rich guys, obviously women come after you claiming all sorts of things about
paternity, and, you know, I've heard it before. So we'll look into it. We'll look into this.
Wait, so he's...
You said his name was Brendan?
No. His name is Baron. Yeah. Baron, he's 14 years old.
We'll look into it. Obviously, yeah. There's a lot of people making claims. And, I mean, there is this kid the size of Dirk Nowitzki who follows me around all the time. I think he's like an assistant or something.
I think that's Baron.
So what would you tell what would you tell the children? Because, you know, the children are our future, Mr. President.
Well, I mean, maybe they're your future. I'm concerned with other things, but we'll see. I tell them we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to tell my kids that.
You know, Mr. President, I was curious because we're here in Massachusetts. We have Senator Liz Warren, and I know that's somebody that you're very close with, very fond with. I was just curious your thoughts on the senator here in Massachusetts.
Well, I mean, she's not worried about the economy because she's going to pay for everything with wampum if the economy tanks. So, you know, we don't have to be too afraid of what she thinks. But I think we should listen to, you know, the bankers and the people who've studied a little bit more than, you know, she who drops out of races.
So we're concerned, Mr. President, about the fact that we may not have the rest of the NBA season, NHL season, Major League Baseball. Who knows? By the fall, we may not have the NFL. How can you assure us that we may see some sports at some time?
Well, I think we've got, like I said, and we've got tough athletes. We've got strong people with tremendous toughness who want to get out there. You know, they have the good immune systems, okay? We're not going out there with you know, Bill Walton isn't getting dressed up for a game tonight. And I think that we can get them out there. Maybe we have smaller crowds, you know? Everything will be like a Tampa Rays game, you know what I mean? Like, you have a few people, maybe it's not so great for the fans, but we can have the games. I think we'll bring baseball back, hopefully, because I'd like to see, you know, the Houston Astros get hit by a lot of pitches. I was disappointed they had to postpone because they are a bunch of those guys are cheating. And I'm not just talking about their legal immigration status. I'm talking about the sign stealing. Okay, Altuve, we can bring two charges against you, I think, if we're being honest.
So what happens to your rallies now if we can't have people together? What those great rallies that you have, where you get all those people excited, what happens to them?
Aren't those great? Aren't those rallies just
terrific.
Tremendous?
Yeah, terrific.
Well, you know what? We go on Twitter. Twitter is like a rally in my pocket. And, you know, I go out to these, you know, coronavirus talks. And I riff. And, you know, I get nice tweets from my supporters. So it's, you know, just like everybody's doing things virtually. This is like I speak to my supporters, I say a bunch of things, and then Fauci, who, by the way, I don't think he might not make it till Easter, okay, because he seems to like stealing the spotlight a lot.
Mr. President, how do you feel? I know the other day you were talking about the media. Do you still feel like 90% of them are against you?
Well, you guys have treated me very fairly, so I guess maybe we can knock it down to 89%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a football question for you. I know you're a big Tom Brady fan, and I heard yesterday that you actually I saw you calling out God, like you guys are going to have a head to head battle. But let's talk about Brady versus God's son, Jesus Christ. They both meet in the Super Bowl. Who wins that game?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, I think, obviously, Tom Brady has the experience, and he has Belichick, or he had Belichick. You know what? Without Belichick, I think that's, you know, Jesus has God, but Brady has Belichick. So that's kind of like an even match in coaching. And I think Jesus, he's lean, so he'd be probably a good cornerback. He looks like he has good core strength up there.
Good hips.
Pliable.
Great hips. Good tolerance for pain also. He's a tough guy. He's like a Ronnie Lott type, you know? He gets injured and he says, crucify me. I can take it.
Did you actually say God lacks experience? Was that your line?
Well, no. It's, you know, God's a good guy. Like, he does good things. I mean, he's not, but he doesn't have the record that Belichick has. I mean, Belichick has, like, how many? 8 rings, a couple with the Giants, and then, like, 6 with the Patriots, and we love the Patriots, by the way, great Patriot people. I think it's just important that God is great and can do great things, but he has no experience with football.
Way to go.
We're talking to, this is J.L. Coven. He is a comedian out of New Jersey. He's also a lawyer, I heard. He has an unbelievable podcast. It's called Making Podcasts Great Again. Now, where did you get that name from, J.L.?
Oh, well, it was simple. It's a podcast. Thank you for having me, by the way. It's just a podcast, as Trump, and I thought he just keeps putting MAGA everywhere. So I said, well, there you go. He's already given us the title. So it's a very satirical look. I stay in character the whole show, and it's basically what you just heard, for a half hour each week. So it's been getting good numbers now. So, we're hoping it just continues to succeed and at least for another 6 months, if I can tip my political hand, I'm perfectly content to end the show at the end of 2020.
So
I'm still here.
I'm curious, are you in character still, or is that your voice now?
No, well, now my voice is hoarse because I've been talking like him for about a day straight.
Yep.
So my voice is, usually much more pleasant and soothing, but now it's just, it's like I've been giving myself a sore throat for the last day.
Yeah, because it actually just normally you hop on the phone.
How do you sound like him?
You sound just like him. But normally, without your voice being hoarse or just tired, does it resemble Trump at all?
No, I mean nobody's ever said that in my life until I do it, and then it's roughed up. I think I behave more like Trump, but my voice, thank God, is not like his.
Do you do other impressions?
I do. What's weird is the first big one I did was in fifth grade when I did Jean-Claude Van Damme. And ever since then, it's just been a big mix. I had a video as Louis C.K. go viral a few, like 5 years ago. But then I sort of lose them because somebody else gets into the zeitgeist, and then I beat that one to death. So now it's like I probably spend half of my waking hours talking as Trump for some project or some interview. So,
well, do you ever prank call anyone or call like, hey, order out and pizza or whatever as President Trump, and then?
Yeah. The first couple episodes of Making Podcasts Great Again, like way back a couple of years ago, we called a gun shop in I think it was Texas, saying that we were going to have a Second Amendment Day on the White House lawn. And the person was convinced it was Trump. And we were I was saying we're reaching out. And you play the we're cutting out the middleman. I'm a man of the people. That's why we're calling random businesses. And, we want to have a great Second Amendment Day. So we're hoping your store can represent in D.C. on that day. Another time I called a diner. And the guy thought I'm convinced there is a man in like a midtown New York City diner still telling people that Trump, and I was like, oh, he believes it. He thinks that now, Trump wants to talk to small business owners.
Now, there's some areas, though, he's not very popular. Have you gotten that kind of reaction? Like, people aren't happy to talk to you and give you a piece of their mind?
Occasionally I get, I think more I get, the impression's so good, and I have sort of, when I've been on the road doing stand-up, I often close with it. And even in places where they're much more red, they usually still, because that's the thing, I think, for a lot of people, they realize his own supporters, half of them are like, yeah, we know he's sort of a clown, but we just like that he's mean and hates taxes, so we're cool with that. But most of the time I don't get, like, any angry response in return. Online, it's a lot different. You get your libtard and you're pathetic, and I go, okay. You're the one commenting on YouTube videos.
His name is J.L. Coven. The podcast is called Making Podcasts Great
Awesome.
Again. And J.L., before we close out, I want you to go back into character one more time.
Uh-oh.
To close this thing out, because I want to ask you what a lot of people want to hear from the president right now and find out, because everybody's watching like Netflix and stuff like this. Have you heard about this Tiger King show? Have you heard about this show?
Well, to be honest, I've already finished The Tiger King, okay, who's kind of, I don't know that I'd call him a king, to be honest. When a chubby blonde gets the better of you, I don't know how kingly that is. But he seems like a good guy. He likes his guns. Seems to have a wandering eye for the young men, which I've seen my vice president occasionally sneak a peek. That when, you know the deal. When you're that strong with the Bible and calling your wife mother, you like the Tiger King.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, thank you very much. President Trump, thank you very much for joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline on OMF. We really appreciate it.
A great pleasure for you.
Thank you very much. Making podcasts great again. That's J.L. Coleman. Very good. Boy, he's got the thing nailed. By the way,
yes,
we pissed off a lot of people. Go look at the text line. I'm looking at
it
right
now.
People think we're being very disrespectful.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Because they do.
Christ,
they
we're all
thought,
freaking
they thought,
sitting at home.
They thought we were going to have the president on at 4:30. We teased it for 2.5 hours.
We did.
And they thought we were going to have him on. I mean, come on, lighten up, people.
Gotcha.
We need a little bit of lightening up right now, don't we?
You said his name was Brendan?
Yeah, I'm amazed that he didn't know he had a son.
Who?
Baron. No,
I mean,
no,
there's this kid the size of Dirk Nowitzki who follows me around all the time.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. He's your son. He's
he
your
gets
kid.
Injured and he says, crucify me. I can take it.
So God didn't have enough. God didn't have enough. I tell you what, we got to use this guy, you know, in the future.
He's a good guy. Like, he does good things.
There are a lot of people,
but he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the record that Belichick has. I mean, Belichick has... like, how many, 8 rings?
We do. You're talking about the text line. I'm looking at it now. People that, like, pull over, they tuned in the middle of it. They're like, hold on, how'd these guys get Trump on?
People thought we were really having Trump on.
He looks like he has good core strength.
President's a big Roddy Lott.
What do you say? He thinks Jesus could be a quarterback?
Roddy Lott, like, yes.
Yeah, he's real fit. That's lean Jesus.
Good hips.
Pliable.
Great hips. Good tolerance for pain also. He's a tough guy. He's like a Ronnie Lott type, you know? He gets injured and he says, crucify me. I can take it.
The craziest thing is that he gets out of character.
He sounded the
still
same.
Sounds the same.
That's what I was like, wait,
sound any different.
Are you still in character or not? When these guys called him, actually, he answered the phone in character as Trump.
Imagine calling the gun shop, though.
Oh, we got to look that. We got to find that one. We got to find that one.
Actually, our guy J.L. Covid did a video today, which we'll probably play sometime in the next hour.
Let's play it in the next hour. We'll do
all
it.
All right, good.
Oh, we can laugh again.
He's outstanding.
See how this is? You can laugh
again.
Oh,
it's good
to laugh. Not according to the text line.
It's
shame
good to
on
laugh.
You. Well, shame on us.
You said his name was Brendan?
Tell Joey to get ready for the emails because people are pissed right now.
How dare you?
Did we not have him do our public service announcements?
We
should do
our
PSAs.
Did we not need to laugh? Come on, people.
Can he not do our PSAs?
I think you're worrying too much about it. That was funny.
Excellent stuff. Okay, we got another hour to go. We'll go 30 minutes commercial free. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.